You would turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Just a couple of verses today, 5 down through verse 7. Actually follows on what we began last week. Just wasn't enough time to do all of that in 1 week. So today, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Hear now this word of the Lord. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, it is a great treasure to us. And Lord, we thank you for the way you have instructed us through your word, the way you have revealed to us yourself, your plan of salvation, these wondrous things that we would not know except for your divine revelation. And Lord, we pray today that you would help us to know better you, to know better what you have designed for those you love, for those that you call to yourself. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to for a little bit set aside the concerns and worries and frustrations of the world, and to listen as your Spirit speaks to us through the Word. Lord, we pray today that you would show us great and wondrous things in your Word. Lord, our desire is that we might hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Some might have thought I was somewhat uncharitable last week when I said that President Biden prays to dead people. But that's what he, as a good Catholic, does. When he prays to various saints and even Mary, he and others who do this are asking people who are dead, whose souls are presumably in heaven, to mediate their request to God. Calvin said it's a mere dream originating in their own brain that the dead intercede for us. Such things that men contrive of their own imaginations without the authority of the Word of God must be rejected. And there are some who try to explain away this practice by saying that Christ is the only mediator of redemption, but the saints are the mediators of intercession. Well, that argument falls flat when you recall that this passage, this section we're looking at, Paul speaks specifically about prayer, praying for all kinds of people. Calvin says it is blasphemy to ascribe to the saints such excellence as would procure for us favor with God. And those who understand the offices of Christ will be satisfied and assured, having him alone as the only one who ever lives to make intercession for us. We saw last week that Paul urged prayers be made for all kinds of people, and that such prayers please God, because he wants all kinds of people to be saved. He's not just the God of the Jews. He's not just the God of the Gentiles. He is the one God of all. This is a fundamental affirmation of the Jewish religion. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it's called the Shema. That's the first word in Hebrew. Shema means hear. The Jews are supposed to repeat this every morning and every evening. And it says in part, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There is one God, and he is the same God for all people. Paul says we're to pray for all kinds of people, but we do not have to pray to all kinds of gods, for one God is over all. There's one God and one only. There can be no other, for there can only be one infinite being. We live in a world that's overrun with gods. All of them are the product of the mind of man, and too many people try to serve too many gods. They're the gods of money and success, prestige and power. And all of them demand a sacrifice. They all demand loyalty. And people are pulled this way and that, trying to serve all their gods. They're what Paul described in Romans 1 as those who worship the creature rather than the creator. These people, the people of our day, need to learn this basic truth. There is one God. One God for all mankind, for all races, for all nations. Paul says in Romans 3:29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, he says. It is one God who justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. All believers are connected. They're all members of one family, for there is one God over all. As there is only one true God, the creator of all, the father of all, the king of the universe, there's also only one mediator through whom we may have access to the Father. You know, a mediator is one who's called in when there's a dispute between two parties that can't be reconciled. When there's a strike and labor and management can't come to terms on a new contract, the mediator is called in. The mediator is the one in the middle. He is there to reconcile the parties. His job is to get the two sides to reconcile their differences. Indeed, when we talk about mediation, we're really concerned with reconciliation. We want the two parties to reconcile. Reconciliation is a theme that's critical to biblical Christianity. Reconciliation is needed when parties are at odds with one another. Man is at odds with God. God does not need to be reconciled to man. It's man who needs to be brought back into a right relationship with God. And it's into this unresolvable situation that Jesus Christ comes as the mediator. Now, some might doubt the need for a mediator. Some people say, well, can't I just try to do better? Can't I just clean up my life? Can I just get rid of my bad habits? No. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59:2 wrote, your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You have no access to him because of your sin. There's a great chasm. There's this great gulf between you and God. It's wider than the Grand Canyon. It's deeper than the Grand Canyon. You're on this side. God is over there. And you can't reach him. We talked about this in Bible study a couple weeks ago. This separation. John 5:24. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He's crossed over that great valley that lay between God and him. The bridge that crosses over that great valley is the cross of Christ. The mediator takes on himself the sin that separates you from God, that separates man from God. All people have sinned. All of humanity is here, and God's on the other side, and there's no way to get across other than Jesus Christ. But in his great mercy, he took our sins upon himself that we might gain access to the Father. He paid for our sin that man might be reconciled to God. There had to be a mediator. There was no coming to terms with God, with our sin. That sin had to be removed. And Jesus Christ is the mediator, the one in the middle, so to speak, who did that. But notice the key word here. One. There is one mediator. The modern world likes to say there are many roads that lead to God. And some preachers get a little weak-kneed when asked about, say, really morally great people who are Buddhist or Muslims or Hindus, and they really don't know the gospel. They've really never heard, but they live a great life in light of the information that they've received. And they get a little weak when people ask them about this. You know, they've lived as well as they could with the light and knowledge that they had. And some of these weak preachers or weak theologians will say things like, well, I'm sure we'll be surprised by all the people we see in heaven. Some of them say, I'm sure there will be good Buddhists and good Muslims and good Hindus in heaven. No, there will not. Christ is the unique revelation of God. Christ is the only way to the Father. Christ is the one and only mediator. He is the unique reconciler of man to God. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a universal negative there. No one, nobody, and I might add, no way except through Jesus Christ. This kind of exclusivity is what so many people in our day find so hard to accept. They want to use their own mediator. They want to use their own way to be reconciled to their own God. But their mediator is not the mediator of Scripture. Their God is not the God of Scripture. And their way is not the way of Scripture. There's one God and one mediator. And this language excludes all other mediators of redemption, and I might add of intercession as well. As the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2:1, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. John Wycliffe said, he is the great mediator and great intercessor because of his infinite love and mercy. So one would be a fool who sought some other mediator. Paul tells us this mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. Do not be put off by that word man. When Paul declares Christ is a man, he does not say or imply that he's not God. Christ is both God and man in one person. But there are a couple reasons that he mentions his human nature. First, most people conceive of God as far off. God's way up there somewhere. He doesn't have anything to do with us. He doesn't know about us. He doesn't know how we feel. He doesn't know all the things we have to face. He doesn't know about our struggles. But God became man, taking on our flesh, taking on our infirmities. He was like us in every way except for sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The one who intercedes for us understands us, for he was made like us in every way except for sin." He understands who we are and what we go through in this world. There's mercy and grace for sinners, but it is only through Christ Jesus. The full humanity of Christ is of primary importance to his role as the mediator of the covenant of grace. Man was the one who sinned. It was through man that sin and death came into the world. All people were born into sin. All people are subject to death because of the sin of our first parents. So man sinned. It was necessary that man make atonement for sin. But that price was so high that only God could pay it. No one can pay for your sins. There's no one who is righteous who can stand in your place except God himself. So it is that the God-man, Jesus Christ, must be the mediator who brings man into a right relationship with God. He intercedes for all people in the presence of God and reconciles them to God by his death. Christianity is not primarily a philosophy of life. Christianity is not primarily rules about how to live. Christianity bears witness to an event, the life, ministry, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the heart of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the only one who holds the key to heaven. He's the only one who holds the key to eternal peace in the presence of God the Father. Indeed, it was by his death on the cross that Jesus Christ paid the ransom, Paul says here, the price that was necessary to free people from their sins, to bring them from death to life, to cross over that great valley that separated them from God. In Hebrews, we read earlier that Christ is our great high priest. There are two parts to his priesthood. He is both the priest who offers the sacrifice and is himself the sacrifice which is offered. Paul says that Christ gave himself as a ransom for all men, right there in your text. So as we said last week, this question comes up again. Are all people redeemed? The answer is the same as last week. Only those chosen by Christ are redeemed. But many of our evangelical brothers and sisters like to say that Christ died for all people, for every single individual. But they know that all are not saved. They know that all are not saved from the wrath of God and hell. And so they add, they say his death is sufficient for all, but it's efficient only for those who believe. That may sound good, but in truth it makes no sense. If Christ died for the sins of all men would be saved. If Christ died for the sins of all men, but all are not saved, that means that there's some sin, and they would say it's the sin of unbelief, that is beyond the ransom price that he paid. There's some sin that cannot be forgiven by the sacrifice of Christ. That's nonsense. It's ridiculous. The value of Christ's death is infinite. If he so willed, his sacrifice would be enough for every sinner that's ever lived. But his sacrifice, the debt he paid, is only for the elect. It's only for his people. It's not for all men. And let's just make another little example here. That word all, and I just briefly touched on it last week. That word all is used in Scripture in ways wherein it obviously does not mean every single individual. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus tells the disciples, "You will be hated by all men because of me." They obviously weren't. I don't think Peter's mother-in-law hated him. I don't think that Timothy's mother hated him. So it obviously doesn't mean all individuals. In Acts 26:4, people said, "All the Jews know the way I've lived." There were some Jews in the world who didn't even know who Paul was, much less how he lived. John 12:32, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Well, obviously not. Many of the Pharisees were not drawn to him. Even after the crucifixion and the resurrection, many of Jesus' enemies were not drawn to him. So obviously, all does not mean what most people just automatically think, that it means all in an individual sense, every single individual. It means, like we said last week, all kinds of people, in all kinds of situations, in all times, in all places. It doesn't mean every single individual. You know, in the institution of the Lord's Supper, words that you hear often, Jesus did not say for all. He said, "This cup is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." He did not say all. He said many. That is the whole multitude of the elect. It's many. In Revelation, we say it's a number that no man can count. But it's not all, every individual. Therefore, when Paul says all here, he doesn't mean individually, but rather people of every nation, every station in life, just as we saw last week. But it's this good news of Christ's mediation that Paul was entrusted to teach to all people, to the Gentiles. He was to go to the people in Asia Minor and people in Greece and people in Rome. He even went to Spain, we believe. He took this message to all kind of people. Paul was to proclaim these glad tidings of redemption and salvation by Jesus Christ, the one mediator between man and God, who gave himself as a ransom for all. He says that it is for this reason that he was appointed as a herald, that is, a preacher. The preacher is one who should say, "This is true. This is the truth. This is the gospel." He's the one who brings a proclamation from the King, from the one and only God. Paul is an apostle, he said. He's appointed. An apostle is one who's sent. He's sent as a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. The people to whom Paul was sent were worshiping every kind of idol imaginable. Even when he went to Athens, the Greeks had an idol to an unknown god. They just wanted to be sure they covered all their bases. They worshiped everything, from goats and bulls to imaginary things, as Calvin said, things that come out of their own brains. So this is Paul's job. He is to take this good news and teach people what it means. You know, a teacher is one who leads people to understand the meaning of facts. You may know a lot of facts, but you may not know what that means. It's not enough to know that Jesus lived, that he died on a Roman cross. You have to know what that meant. We teach people a lot of times, especially young people, to say, I believe Jesus died on the cross. The devil believes that. We have to know what that meant. And specifically, what does it mean for you? Your sin separated you from God. It was necessary for a mediator who alone is the one who was born and lived a sinless life and was put to death, bearing the wrath of God for your sins, to reconcile you to God and to provide even for your body after this life is over, a new resurrection body to eternal life in the presence of God. This is the truth. It's the message all people need to hear. And you, if you've been redeemed by Christ, you've been given a part and a responsibility in that proclamation of the good news. It's not just Paul's job. Paul is no longer with us. It's the job of every Christian to propagate this good news. This good news which says that even though sin has separated all people from God and made them subject to the wrath of God, there is a mediator, God himself, who stands ready to intercede for all who will call upon him. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love, the love that sent your only begotten Son into this world to be like us, except he was sinless, but he experienced what it is to be a man, to live in this world. He knows our struggles and our troubles, and he also knows the great price that had to be paid for our sin, price that he willingly went to the cross and paid for every one of the elect, for every one of his people. He bore your wrath that should have rested upon us. Lord, what a wondrous thing it is. It is beyond the comprehension of man to understand that kind of love, to understand that kind of mercy and grace. But Lord, by faith, we hold to that. Lord, we understand that through faith we take hold of that eternal life, that gift which you hold out to all who will believe. And Lord, we would pray for those around us, family and friends, associates, neighbors. Lord, many who are trapped in some kind of unbelief, many who seek a different mediator, seek a different way to Christ. And Lord, we know your words to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many, many go there. But narrow is the way to heaven. Only a few find it. Lord, help us, we pray, to direct those we know, those with whom we have contact, onto that narrow way, the way of life, the way of life through Jesus Christ, the one mediator between man and the one God. And Lord, pray that we'd hold out this truth as teachers, as preachers, as your people, Lord, that we might indeed show to others the way of salvation. Lord, that they would indeed hear from us this glorious good news, that there is hope for the worst sinner, for all kinds of people, in all kinds of situations. None is beyond the reach of Christ. None is beyond the infinite sacrifice, the value, the ransom that he paid for all who will believe. And Lord, we just pray that as we do this, we would be faithful, holding out the word of truth as we should, and that it would be for your glory and your honor. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.